You get dinged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you've got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down? It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine and maybe, just maybe, a little bit more. Here are your hosts, Dr. Brian McCarty and big-time Mike McGivern on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Oh, welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Brian, it's good to see you.
Good morning, Michael. We have an awesome show coming up today.
Yeah, you know what? I'm looking forward to this because he plays poker with a buddy of mine, and I want to know who wins normally. And that's it. Hey, before we introduce our special guest, in the update, you heard that Golden State Warrior guard is out indefinitely with a concussion. And, you know, he's one of the Splash Brothers. You know, he needs to get going. They've got a week or, I think, now 5 days. They play on Thursday.
Correct.
Before they get going again. Your thought on if he's going to be cleared, ready to go?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, this is an excellent example for all the high school parents and athletes out there and college kids who wonder, what is it like when a concussion really occurs and what happens inside a helmet that you can't see because you can't see the guy? This is what happens, right? So this injury occurred, for those of you who don't know, during the Western Conference Finals. And Klay Thompson was struck inadvertently with a knee right to the side of his head.
Yep.
And he sustained what we would have called in the old days a grade 3 concussion. And what that means is that he had issues with mental function. Following this, by the end of the game, he was incapable of driving. He was driven home and then was vomiting at home because of post-concussive symptoms. And he's legitimately, genuinely, neurologically injured, okay? And that's what a concussion is. And so now they're going to go through what's called a concussion protocol. And so when we are talking to athletes, we're talking to our kids, or we're talking to our athletes about the concussion protocol, and people are like, well, let's just get him back out there. He'll be fine. Well, that's not the way it works. And now we have guidelines that we need to follow in order for him to return to play. So he will go through basically a period of brain rest where he will literally be quiet with his mind. He'll listen to some quiet music. He won't do much until his symptoms resolve. His headaches are gone. He feels more like himself. After that, they'll start light workouts with an exercise bike. And if his symptoms return, then he goes back to the brain rest again to quiet things down. Now, why are they doing that? Because there's been a tremendous amount of research on how to recover from concussions safely and how to minimize the damage in the longer term.
Is it the same steps for a basketball player than it would be for a football player?
In this case, I would say yes, it is, because you can't take the chance. A second hit can be fatal in an early concussion, and we know that. It's called second impact syndrome. It's very rare because now most people are kept out, but it can be fatal, lead to brain swelling and permanent neurologic damage. So, yes, the bottom line is that's why he's out, quote-unquote, indefinitely. Now, the odds of him being back, I think, are quite high. I think the odds of, by that point, having not probably had many concussions in the past, he probably will be ready, but it's not clear. And they will follow these guidelines. When he can work out and he can run and he can exercise and not have symptoms, they'll get him back out there.
Boy, the best thing for that is rest. And, you know, people have complained that there's so much time between because both the series were ended fairly quickly. Best thing for him.
Yeah.
And maybe for that team is that they don't start till Thursday.
Yeah, I think the best thing for the competition, frankly. You know, it's just that's – I think it is sort of – I think most of us as fans think it's kind of crazy to have such a big break, much like the college football playoff,
right,
which is insane. You know,
yeah, that's
6 weeks between. But in this case, you know, it's good timing, I guess, if you're going to have an injury like that for him. He has time to be more likely to recover. But I think – I would really encourage all the parents out there and all the coaches out there to go back and look at this and realize,
yes,
inside the helmet, this is what happens.
Yeah.
And I think it really is instructive.
Do you know what? I'm excited about today's show, and I'll tell you why. The theme of the show is the aging athlete, how to stay in the game longer. And, man, I feel like you wrote that for guys like me, you know, still trying to play church league softball and stuff like that.
And guys like me.
And guys, correct? I didn't want to go there because
hey, we're either aging or we're not here. So yeah, you know, look at it that way.
Well played on that. And you know, as we look into this, Dr. Don Zoltan is our special guest.
Yeah. So Dr. Zoltan is here today. We're really excited to have him. He's a fantastic physician and a great person. Loves sports. Has been around it for his whole life. And he's a partner of ours in the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Program and really contributes a lot. He's been doing this for quite some time, does mostly knee surgeries, although I think he treats some shoulder and other things as well. But he can handle pretty much any sports injury from the ground up and does an expert job at it all. So terrific guy, and welcome, Don.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming in. Before we start peppering you with different questions, can we get your background, where you grew up and where you went to school?
Sure. I grew up in the Chicago area.
Oh, no.
Okay, thanks for listening.
It's nice being here. Thanks for having me.
It's been a great show.
This has been the Midwest Orthopedic. I'm just kidding, Dr. Zoltan. Go ahead.
So okay, you grew up in the Chicago area. But try not to hold that against me, but you will. But then I left. I'm in Wisconsin now, so
attaboy.
That's good. But
attaboy.
I went to college at a small college in Pennsylvania, medical school, University of Illinois, residency, University of Wisconsin. That's okay.
Right? Now we're going.
And I did a sports medicine fellowship at the University of Florida.
Excellent. You've been around a little bit, Illinois, Florida, and Wisconsin, decided to stay here in Wisconsin.
That's right.
It's a great move for you.
Yeah, it is. I've been happy. It's worked out really well.
You know, my favorite line and the questionnaire that we had that Dr. McCarty had sent you is, I do share a hatred for the Cubs with all Wisconsinites.
That's right. So people love me for that.
Automatically like you. The fact that you're
right.
A friend of Dave Markson's helps too. So.
That's right. I mean, in Chicago, you're either a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan. So you're one or the other, not both. People from other areas don't understand that. But as much as Packer fans hate Bear fans.
Right.
White Sox fans hate Cub fans.
That's awesome.
Well,
we have a common bond.
I just want everyone to know that Dr. Zoltan's wearing a Brewers shirt.
Yes,
that's
he
right.
Is. I noticed that when he first walked in.
That's right. I'm going to the game today, and I like the Brewers in addition to the White Sox.
Yeah, every Chicagoan dreams of moving to Wisconsin, and he's living this.
I'm living the dream.
Yeah, you are. There's no doubt. You're a sports guy. Played sports growing up. And did you know early on that this is what you wanted to do with your life?
Not really. I wish I could say yes, but I really didn't have a good idea. Even when I went to college, I wasn't really sure that medicine was for me. I was certainly considering it, but sophomore year in college, I kind of decided that's the way I wanted to go.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's early. I do.
Yeah, right.
I think so too. There's a great line here where he says, after a long bus ride, doubleheader, one pinch hit strikeout and an organic chemistry test the following day, you knew your future was moving in a different direction.
That's right. Exactly.
The law of diminishing returns.
That's right. Yes. I knew my future was not in that area. And I better stick with academics.
Yeah. Well, good. What position did you play?
I played outfield and first base.
That's I like that line as well. And the other thing is we prepped before. You had asked Dr. Zoltan, hey, what do you want to get out of this show? And what do you want to let people know? And his quote was, I want middle-aged weekend warriors to come see me.
Yeah.
And he looked right at me, and then he looked at you, so he was talking to the choir.
Yeah, we're all in the same boat, and, you know, middle age has changed over the years. It's much older now.
It's 1 year older than me.
Right, exactly.
is that what it is?
No, you know, it used to be. Now I've given that up.
Yeah. You know, as we talked, and you had a quote, Dr. Brian, that said, you know, what people need to understand is I want them to get fit and don't get hurt.
Yes.
And I wrote that down because, you know what, at our age, in my age, you said, look, you can't go from sitting on the couch for 15 years. And you didn't say it directly to me, but you made that comment. Can't go sitting on the couch for 15 years to then go into some boot camp and expect not to get hurt. And I think that that's what the show is today. And I think that that's a really, really important comment to people. So, look, ease into it. You know, start getting back into shape. But don't go crazy the first week.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. That's the motto of the show. Get fit, but don't get hurt. Because we see that a lot. People going from nothing to trying to do really, really hard workouts right away is not the best way to do it. You know, just work your way into it. So, but I have a question for Don, because Don, you've been at this even a little bit longer than I have. I mean, what kind of changes have you seen over the years in your practice in orthopedics? And what kind of changes would you say you've seen in older patients over the last 10 to 20 years in terms of their activity level, their expectations?
It has changed. I think when I first started, you know, by the nature of my practice, I was still seeing active adult people from the beginning. But it definitely, it seems like people are wanting to do more for longer. They expect to do more longer. It's not even wanting to. That's just an expectation. And if they can't do the same things they did 10, 15, 20 years, then they're not so willing to accept that necessarily and are really fighting to continue, sometimes to their harm and detriment where they get into problems and have trouble. But a lot of people who are active want to stay active, and there's a lot more of those people around now.
Hey, guys, we're going to get to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, there's a couple other questions I want to follow up with that. We're also going to talk about the truth about glucosamine.
Very nice.
There you go. And other supplements for arthritis.
Mike's been worried about that all
week. Man, that word, the good, the bad, and perhaps the ugly. And we'll continue our conversation with our special guest. He is Dr. Don Zoltan. You can look him up at mymosh.com. Get some information on Dr. Don if you have some questions. There's a couple of ways on that website to get a hold of Dr. Zoltan, and he can certainly answer the questions for you. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty, our special in-studio guest, Dr. Don Zoltan. And we are talking about the aging athlete, how to stay in the game longer. Dr. Brian?
Yeah, we just want to follow up, Don, with a couple of these comments that you had made in the break. You know, talking about how you talk to patients as they transition. They're maybe now they're having a little bit of difficulty running every day, but they would like to stay active, or they're trying to get back into activity because they're realizing that, you know, it's healthier for them and they want to be more active. How do you handle that discussion?
Well, it's interesting. I hear that a lot. I hear that question a lot. I do hear questions from people who have been runners and runners all their lives, and they're not having problems. They're not having any pain. They're not having any soreness or swelling. And they ask, am I hurting myself? And I say, probably not. There's a lot of good evidence that if someone has good cartilage, they've got good genes, and they're having no problems, that they can run their whole life and not have too many difficulties. But many people are not in that boat. They have they start to develop pain. They start to develop stiffness, swelling. And in those people, it really is not a good idea to continue the same running program. There's different options. If it's just a little bit of problem, you can cross train and get into some low impact activities, alternating with running activities, run less distance, less time, less intensity. Some people can't run at all. Those are the tough ones who have been running all their lives, and you have to tell them that you're not doing yourself any favors. While if you're not having any symptoms, you're probably not increasing your chances of arthritis. If you're developing symptoms or you have arthritis, there's no question that the high impact running, jumping sports are not doing you any good, and they're accelerating the arthritic process.
You know, that's got to be a tough conversation to have with some of your patients, where you have to say, hey, look, at this point, as your doctor, I'm not sure I'd recommend that you continue to run, but let me give you some options. That for somebody who has run their entire life, they don't want to hear that. And that's got to be a tough conversation.
It's tough. It's some of the toughest conversations you have. You would think that some other things we deal with would be a lot tougher, but people who are kind of addicted, compulsive runners and can't do it anymore, they're not happy.
Yeah, one of the troubles is that runners, generally speaking, really hate biking, has been my experience. They don't really like it. But we always talk about emphasizing what you can do, not what you can't do. And the body changes a lot over time. So sometimes runners who bike or they cross train or they swim or they get into triathlons instead of half marathons find that over time they can run again a little bit more because their cartilage recovers. We're going to talk about that in segment three. We're going to talk a little bit about what happens on the cellular level that allows this to occur. So the message being to transition to low impact is not just a recommendation from your doctor. It's actually physiologically helpful to your body. And as you get older, you get symptoms. As Dr. Zoltan has well pointed out, that's the time to do that.
Yeah, it really is. Do you is there a common complaint with the middle, you know, the guys like my age that are trying to continue and do something and continue to be active that you hear? Is it knee problems, foot problems? Is there a common complaint, common thread through guys like me?
Not necessarily an area. Certainly knee problems are extremely common. But even more than that, just general comments you hear a lot is it takes longer to recover from injuries. They get sore, but the soreness lasts longer. And they don't quite bounce back the same way.
I can relate to that. Do you have an answer for that?
Do you have a pill that'll help us?
Unfortunately, not.
So getting into this whole pill thing, because this is what comes up next, right, is what supplements people take. And we get asked, I know you get asked every day, about should I be taking glucosamine or should I be taking chondroitin sulfate or, you know, some of the products that people have out there. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting because my thoughts have evolved over the years. I remember at the beginning, people started talking about shark cartilage, and which has some components of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus a lot of other things that you don't know is in there. I started looking into it, and the early studies seemed to indicate that glucosamine or a combination of glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate may be effective in preventing cartilage degeneration. And certainly symptoms. Many more studies have come out, most of which are showing no effect in protecting the cartilage. And in fact, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons has come out with a statement recommending that you don't take these supplements, which is a pretty strong statement to come out from them. But I do hear about people who ask about it. I don't recommend it anymore. I don't bring it up. I used to bring it up and suggest that people try it in certain circumstances. I don't. People come in saying they're taking them, and I ask them, well, do you feel it makes a difference? And say, yeah. And they said, you know, I don't like paying for it, so I stopped taking it for a while. And then my knee started hurting more. I started taking it. It feels better. I said, fine, continue. You know, because I think it does help some people because there is an anti-inflammatory effect that they may have. So it is an anti-inflammatory. In some people, it may be effective, and if they're taking it, I think it's fine because there really is low or no risk with these supplements.
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic because I think there may be a small subgroup of people who are affected by it, but when you look at 1,000 patients and you blind them to what they're taking and the placebo effect is so powerful, which it is, it's actually elevated above the normal placebo effect for both groups. So that because they think they're taking something that will help,
right,
they actually feel better. And but the truth is these substances come, the glucosamine comes from seashells. It's ground up crustacean shell that it comes from. And the chondroitin sulfate comes from the tracheal cartilage of cows and pigs. That these aren't like, it's not like tree bark or flower petals, or
right,
you know. And so these are, you know, not super well regulated things. And so you have to be just aware. If you're going to try it, I think it's okay to try. Like Don said, we don't recommend it anymore because our academy has researched this every couple of years, and now they've come out and recommended against it. But I think if you're going to try it, make sure you get to a reputable name brand that's been around for a while.
Be sure and know that it's a multi-billion dollar business, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of hype involved, and they're obviously trying to make money. Mm-hmm. And so you're not always going to get the straight scoop from the companies that make these supplements.
That's scary to consumers.
Well, but everything out there, they're selling you, right? So once you recognize that they're selling you a cheeseburger with a big picture of a cheeseburger making you hungry, and they're selling you this idea that your cartilage is going to regrow if you take these pills, which is completely baloney, you know, you realize that you're being sold, right?
Be
smart about what you're consuming.
And ask your doctor.
Ask your doctor and get an objective look at it. Know the truth about it. Don't buy the myth. Right?
Correct. Hey, we're going to get to a quick break And you're going to tease what's coming on in the other side because, you know, I have to tell you, I love you that you write these for me and for us. But when you go ahead, why don't you read? There's no chance I'm going to be able to read some of that.
All right. Speaking of destroying myths, you're supposed to have, you know, it's supposed to sound like you wrote these.
You know what? Really? Why don't you read
it? Look, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about low T syndrome, which is an issue of low testosterone. And we're also going to talk about the changing physiology of articular cartilage, which is the cartilage inside your joint as we age. And we're going to talk about why that requires a change in how you train to stay active. So stay tuned, and we're going to get that on the other side of the break.
And I'm really happy that you were able to pronounce the words that I wrote for you. On the other side of the break, this is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bumper music brought to you by Dr. Don Zoltan.
Now that is bumper music.
Not going into that again. Dr. Zoltan, let's start this segment if we can. Can you define low T syndrome, what that is, and let's follow up with a couple questions on that.
I'm just wondering why you think I'm an expert in low T syndrome, but I'll talk about it anyway.
We'll talk to you about that off the air if we can.
Okay, that's fine. One disclaimer first, I'm not an endocrinologist. I'm not an expert in hormone. I don't actually prescribe any hormone replacements, but it certainly affects orthopedic patients and the patients that I see. And you do hear questions, and I did look into this a little bit. It's a little bit of a controversial topic as far as treatment is concerned. There's certainly a lot of people on testosterone supplements. Testosterone can be measured in the blood, and people have documented low levels. The controversial part is what really is low, because as we all know, as you age, your testosterone levels naturally start to decrease. And it does probably have some ill effects, but it may also have some beneficial effects, possibly. You know, high testosterone can cause the prostate to enlarge. There's some controversy as to whether it may contribute to prostate cancer. High testosterone may affect cardiovascular function. It definitely can affect your lipid profile, lipid levels in your bloodstream.
That means that it's maybe affecting your heart and your cholesterol.
Yes.
It could, anyway.
Yes, it could. Yeah. So that is a factor. But there's clearly people who have low testosterone and need supplementation, and it is very effective for those people.
So if you're concerned about this, what kind of symptoms do you have? I mean, people that come, and again, neither one of us treats this problem with supplementation, but we know people who've been treated, and we know people who are curious about it. Do you hear about it? Because, again, the advertisers are hitting this sort of low T syndrome idea. So do they come in with fatigue and decreased libido or sex drive and all that?
Yes, those are a couple of symptoms. Weakness. Of course, there's a lot of causes of weakness, but it affects muscles and muscle strength. And no question that replacing and supplementing low testosterone can lead to increasing a lean body mass, and also decrease fat levels in the body, too.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a lot of advertisers right now with all over the radio station and TV talking about, you know, if you're suffering from low T and this is what you should do and this is what you should take. Do you guys recommend anything, or do you just say, hey, look, here are some things that are available to you?
Well, there's certain things. The only thing that I would definitely recommend are not actual supplementation. I would refer people back to their primary care physician to discuss and evaluate this problem. But there is some indication that lifestyle changes can definitely help this problem. No supplements, no medication. There's some indications that getting enough sleep, something simple as that, can help in testosterone and also growth hormone production. There's certainly some indications that exercise is helpful, both aerobic exercise and strength training. So those things I can certainly recommend that are helpful for many things.
Yeah, I would definitely second those two things. Both of those things result in increased testosterone production. especially deep phase sleep. So a lot of people have sleep apnea. They're not sleeping well, so they're not well rested, and they notice that they feel tired all the time and they feel weak. And a lot of it is because they're not getting adequate rest. So again, speaking with your primary physician about this and getting that issue addressed is very important. There are some dietary issues. Making sure you have a balanced diet and you're getting enough zinc and you're losing some weight helps a lot. And then if you really think that you have this problem and you're not just falling for the low T advertising, go to your physician and make sure you get a blood test. And don't assume that you've always been on the high range. Right? Because every guy thinks they're in the high range.
Well, I know I have. Well, I don't know about everybody else.
You know, we're all above.
Because we're Irish.
You know, 85% of us are above normal. But one thing you should know is that if you do testosterone supplementation, there have been some sort of disturbing reports recently. Very large studies showing increased heart disease, stroke, and increased risk of death 29% more likely within 3 years. And the other thing is you have to persist with these treatments forever. They don't, it's not a temporary fix. So it's something to consider. It's something to talk to your physician about. But there's been a fivefold increase in this treatment between 2000 and 2011. And I think the FDA is looking very hard at this as to whether this is actually a safe treatment.
Well, it's clear that Brian and I are probably in the high range.
Oh, for sure.
It is associated with early hair loss. So.
Yes. Yeah, we're more aerodynamic on purpose.
Well, and you guys look great. Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Don Zoltan. You can find him on mymosh.com. Great information on him and how to get in and see him if you have questions. You know, we're talking about weekend warriors, and we're talking about the aging athlete and how to get how to stay in the game longer. Dr. Zoltan, it's certainly the fact that there's body change. Your body changes as we get older, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how this affects the athletic performance. Your thought on that?
Yeah. So there's definitely changes that occur. Muscle mass does decrease. Healing time. Healing potential decreases. One thing, too, that's very relevant to our area and specialty is the joint surface cartilage, or the coating of the bone in the joints, like the grayish material on the end of a chicken leg bone, the coating of the bone in the joint. The cartilage does not age well. There are a lot of factors that lead to that, including no blood supply and the fact that the cells can't really regenerate on their own, and the material in between the cells also degenerates and doesn't have the same structure and function as we age.
Yeah, this is a really critical thing we talked about before this last break as to why low-impact exercise helps. So it's helpful for our audience to understand that the cartilage cells, the cells inside the cartilage layer, are like little balloons inside a web, and that web is made of a substance called collagen. That collagen is supported by things like glucosamine and other substances, which is why they market that. What happens is the collagen will break down over time, and the repair mechanisms are very fragile, and so they don't always repair well. As that collagen breaks down, those little cells that make all the stuff that you need to repair that take more load with high-impact activities. And so if they overload those cells in a lab, you can see them shut down. Their machinery shuts down and they no longer repair well. If you subject them to very low load, they actually upregulate and they actually start making more of the substances that you want. And this is why we counsel patients to do biking and low impact exercise, elliptical trainer, and cross train from running so that they can continue to run longer.
What is considered low impact exercise? I know you talked about the elliptical, but give us some other examples. So when you're talking to a patient, you say, look, what I want you to do is more of a low impact workout. Give some examples for that.
Well, there's many choices. We didn't mention swimming. That's an excellent exercise. The buoyancy of the water eliminates a lot of the body weight too, which is helpful. Plus, there's motion and resistance in the water, so that's an excellent low-impact exercise. Walking, I consider low-impact. Elliptical, biking, things that avoid hard pounding on the joints, the running, jumping type activities.
Yeah, or like racquetball where you're stopping and starting a lot.
There's definitely some stress and impact on that, but there's degrees of stress. I know that people who want to remain in things like tennis may go to doubles tennis, where there's less running and less stopping and starting type of maneuvers. And so that can be helpful.
Yeah, and one of the things that I always emphasize, and I know Don would as well, is save the running and the pounding and the twisting and the turning for things that you love, right?
Right.
Maybe not every for your everyday workout now, but for things that you love. I never tell people stop doing everything that you love to do. I mean, we want you to be active. We want the same thing for you that we want for ourselves, to stay active and have fun. But maybe you need to do the low impact stuff so you can keep doing the other things longer.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Guys, let's get to our break. Our special in-studio guest is Dr. Don Zoltan. You can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Zoltan. Hey, in our last segment, I want to talk a little bit about some examples of athletes who continue to perform at a high level. And when you think about that, there's a number of guys that come to mind, a Nolan Ryan or a Mike McGivern or a Cal Ripken, guys like that. But I want to ask.
That McGivern fella is quite a guy.
He is something else.
Did you hear he's coming back to coaching?
Coming back to coaching, low impact, trust me. We'll talk to you. And my question for you is what can we learn from these guys? And we'll talk about some of these examples of guys that have gotten older and just stayed at the top of their game or taken maybe a little bit of a step down, but not a whole lot. And what sets them apart from some of the other guys? This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brought to you by Dr. Don Zoltan from MyMosh.com.
This is a cure for low T, right
that
there.
That is a cure. Welcome back to the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Hey, guys, you know, we're talking about weekend warriors. And we're talking about staying in the game a little bit longer as we age. And there's some examples. When I think of that, Nolan Ryan comes to mind. The fact that this guy, you know, at would considered an old guy when he was still pitching awfully well, throwing it in the high 90s, guys like Cal Ripken Jr. and Jerry Rice, how is it that these guys were able to stay at you know a high level in a professional sport where people just don't stay that long?
Well, I would say that the bottom line is I'm not really sure. However, I think that part of it is genetics. I think we were talking about articular cartilage or joint surface cartilage before. I think some people are born with really high-performance tires, and others are born with cheap retreads.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. Some people are lucky that way. As far as pitchers, I think maybe some pitchers just have good mechanics and don't put as much stress on their shoulders and elbows as others. But the bottom line is I'm really not sure for some people why they're able to perform at a high level longer and others aren't.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. The genetics play a huge role in this. And unfortunately, we'd all like to change that, you know, so that we would have, I mean, we all here have those genetics.
But, of course, but our listeners.
For the 85% of people above the mean, the truth is some of the people, one of the common threads I would say is these people keep themselves in exceptional condition all the time, but they also know when to give their body rest. So they work hard with a plan. I mean, if you ever listen to Jerry Rice talk about how he worked out, he was meticulous in every aspect. Not just the training, but the recovery and the time it took for him to do that.
And nutrition.
There is a commonality to this, that they have a plan. They don't go overboard, but they give themselves rest as much as they give themselves work so that they can keep going. And they found that sweet spot during their career, and almost all of them modified as they got older. You look at Michael Jordan playing when he was in his 40s, right? So he changed his game completely, and he no longer was a slasher. He was looking at turnaround jumpers and fadeaways and posting up, and they changed their game.
Right.
And he's a good example of that.
You know what's interesting, too? If you talk about somebody like a Nolan Ryan or a Tom Seaver, they talked about their legs more than they ever talked about their arm. and they talked about how powerful their legs were. And again, when you talk about the pitching, they used their legs so hard to push off the mound, and they always talked that their legs were so strong that helped them continue as they got older.
That's true, and it's a total body situation. It's not just the arms, it's not just the legs, but the core, the central strengthening, abdominal, back muscles. People who are strong, well-conditioned, and can coordinate all those areas put less stress on any one part.
Our special in-studio guest, Dr. Don Zoltan. Again, go to mymosh.com and look up information on him. Again, middle-aged weekend warriors need to come see me, was his quote, and I love that quote. One thing about the nutrition side of this, when you talk, and I've heard a number of athletes, especially a guy like Nolan Ryan, they changed with the times. I mean, they really were very smart in talking to people and researching themselves on the correct nutrition that they needed, not only in season, but out of season, and how important that was to them.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really big controversial topic at the moment, actually, as to, you know, then you get into this whole issue of people buying all these supplements again. And, you know, the truth is we're going to hear in 2 weeks, I think, I'm pretty sure in 2 weeks, Nicole Kernine is going to be in
Correct.
Here, our dietitian, and she's a sports nutritionist, and talking about how you can get all that with regular, real food, but the right ones. And that's really going to be helpful. I'm sorry to go back to this core stabilization
Sure.
issue, but this is really a critical thing, because what Dr. Zoltan is talking about is the center of your body from the pelvis up through the shoulder girdle, and all the things nobody likes to do, like planks and sit-ups and all these exercises, actually improves athletic performance and prevents injuries. And this was documented in NCAA studies recently, where the athletes that had the best core strength before the season started had the highest performance and the lowest injury rates. And this is very applicable through all the way through your life. And so people like the big muscles, they like to show off, but the core is where it's at.
You know what's interesting is years ago people didn't talk about core exercise. And I think they were doing some of it, but that term of making sure that a lot of your exercise is affecting your core. And it's interesting. I was up at Wisconsin and talked to one of their trainers a number of years ago, and he said, look, almost, and the basketball guy that was training some of these athletes said, almost everything we do in this room is core, and here's why. And he talked exactly what you were talking about, Dr. McCarty, that, you know, these are the best athletes. These are the guys that stay the healthiest and have the best years.
So I just have to bring this up.
Sure.
So last week, there was this big topic on this talk radio show, on the big show here and in ESPN and elsewhere, about could Michael Jordan beat LeBron James in one-on-one today? And I want to ask Don that question.
Today?
Even being a
Chicago fan, I would say no.
Right. My feeling was the only people who could think yes have not even come close to sniffing 50.
Right.
Right? Because there's just no, and I know some of you out there thinking, oh yeah, Mike's my guy. Well, Mike was my guy too, but there's no way that you could do that at that age.
Your guy is not your guy anymore.
He's not your guy anymore. And anyone who's 50 who looks back to when they were 30 knows that they're not 30.
You know, I'm a basketball guy. I am. The coach for 33 years, going back to coaching. I believe, and this is just my opinion, that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player that I will ever see as long as I live. And I think LeBron James is a really close second, and Kobe. But I just, watching him and just his will to win and his will to do whatever it took to get a win and to make his teammates better and play defense was the best that I'll ever see.
He probably had the best will to prepare to win. I hear he was the best practice player and the hardest practice player ever.
He destroyed people. He destroyed guys in practice. I mean, literally destroyed them to the point that they walked away from playing.
Well, and he did all of this by changing his body. I mean, you know, he hired a trainer when it was not fashionable to do that, and they worked very specifically on certain areas of strength. Much like Andre Agassi toward the end of his career did the same thing in tennis. And Michael was, as Don Zoltan pointed out, better prepared. And so, yeah, he was phenomenal. I would love to have seen those two guys in their prime go at it. That would have been really fun.
Yeah, I think so. You were a big Jordan guy, I bet, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even I was a Bulls fan then.
Do you know what? And
how
and
could you not
My
be?
Son Matthew growing up was, and we got a chance to go down to the United Center and watch a game. And we were there before the game started. I know the guy that's the marketing guy for the United Center. And two rookies, Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler, brought my son on the floor to rebound. And Matthew said, "Is Michael coming out?" And they said, "No, he's not coming out. You know, you want to rebound for us. If not, son, you got to go sit off to the side." Dr. Zolan, thank you so much. This has been a really good show. I think for guys like me and for certainly people that want to continue to play, it's interesting. In a few weeks on the high school baseball show that I do, the theme is going to be for the love of the game. And I've got a brother who lives in Florida. He's 60 years old, and he's playing on 3 hardball teams. And he's still catching. And he's doing it because he truly loves baseball. And those guys, I hope, are listening to today's show.
Yeah, well, they should be. And if they're not, they should go to our website at mymosh.com and go to the blog section. And they'll find all the podcasts of all the shows so they can listen to Don's show over and over again, if nothing else for the bumper music.
Yeah, there you
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
There you go. Hey, next week, Dr. Brian, you're going to be gone, huh?
I will be in France. I'm going to the International Sports Medicine Society called ISACOS. It's in Lyon, France. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who's sitting in for you next week? Who's my co-host?
Dr. Jamie Edwards is going to be here next week. And he's going to talk to, you know, we always talk about this team approach to sports medicine. Dr. Edwards is a primary care sports medicine doc. Wonderful guy. He's going to be a great guest. He's going to have some of our athletic trainers and physical therapists in here as well. You're going to have a great show.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Dr. Don Zolan, thank you so much. Hey, when you play cards with my friend Dave Markson, who wins?
He always wins. He's a much better bluffer than I am.
Yeah, he has that look. I wouldn't play cards with them. I'm the exact opposite. You know exactly what's in my hand every time you look at me. Thank you so much again. You can find information on Dr. Don Zolan, mymosh.com. Safe travels, Dr. Brian.
Thank you. Get fit and don't get hurt.
That's excellent. This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, that's been